Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
All right, so we are continuing our fun series on the book of John, okay? So John is the book of the Bible that I say is a good place to start if you've never read the Bible before. And it's kind of weird because, look, it's not at the beginning. You know, normally we start at the beginning of a book, right? And the first half of the Bible is called the Old Testament, and that's the, you know, creation. That's things that we might hear like Moses and Egypt, and we'll hear, you know, Abraham and all these. There's prophets, and there's these. It's the Old Covenant, and it's us learning about our problem, why we need a Savior, and then the New Testament is the good news of Jesus, and it's really the story of the early church. And John is one of the books that talks a lot about what Jesus did while he was on earth. And so John is giving his up close, firsthand eyewitness experience of what he saw as he was following Jesus. So he's telling us in the book of John what he saw and heard and experienced during these few short years that he was on earth with Jesus. How cool is that? So today we are in the book, chapter 4. So if you're following along with a Bible, you don't have to, but if you are, we are reading John chapter 4. And actually, I'm going to read it today in the Amplified version of the Bible. Do you know that there's different translations of the Bible? It's just a little different. And I like it because it makes it more ordinary language. Sometimes it's just nice to hear it like this. All right. So today's message is titled, It's Not Complicated. It's not complicated, okay? So, John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. Okay, so there's this experience of this woman who hears about, who meets Jesus. And this is just like an ordinary woman having an ordinary sort of day. And this is something we take for granted, like that we can just turn a faucet on and water comes out. Have you guys noticed? Like, how do we just take that for granted? Like, if my water goes off, have you ever gotten a knock at your house in the morning and says, we're doing work today and the water's going to be turned off? I stress out. It is the worst thing in the world, okay? But this woman is going about her life and she literally has to go to a well to draw water. And not only that, she's going at the hottest time of the day, okay? So this is like a very difficult life the way I see it. It doesn't seem like very easy, okay? But anyway, this is life for them, okay, in the Bible times. So I guess it's not a big deal to them. This woman, though, she's a woman from Samaria. She comes to a well to draw water, and she sees Jesus. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone off into the city to buy food. So he's waiting for them, okay? He's super hot. Can you get me a drink? Because she's got like the bucket to draw water from the well. So the Samaritan woman asked him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Okay, important to know. The Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans back in that day. Now, that's a whole other story. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it was two things going on. One is men don't talk to women, out in public like that, especially it's not family. This is awkward. This doesn't ever happen. The second thing is Jews and Samaritans don't talk to each other. It's like you're on your side, I'm on my side. But Jesus says, I don't care about that. He's like, maybe the world's like that, but I'm not like that. Okay, so Jesus doesn't care. He talks to her. So she's like, okay. Jesus answers her. He says, if you knew about God's gift of eternal life and who it is who says, give me a drink, you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water, eternal life. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, no bucket and rope, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water you're talking about? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and who used to drink from it himself and his sons and his cattle also? Jesus answered her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Okay, so just for reference, you know, we're human beings. We need a lot of water. Healthier people, they say drink more water. They say it's good for your skin. They say it's good for your health, right? Okay. So the thing is, though, I drink however many bottles of water I'm supposed to drink yesterday. But then I've got to drink all these bottles again today. And then I know that I'm going to have to drink a bunch of water again tomorrow, right? Like, this is a thing that's called being human. We got to keep drinking more and more water. And Jesus is saying, I want you to hear this. You drink this water from the well, you're going to have to come back tomorrow and you're going to have to get a bunch more water. This is your daily life, right? You're going to need to keep on drinking. You drink and then you're thirsty again. That's the way it goes. But he says, whoever drinks the water that I give him, Jesus is saying, I've got a different kind of water. If you drink the water that I give you, you will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water, satisfying his thirst for God, welling up continually, flowing, bringing him eternal life. It's actually going to be something that that satisfies his thirst for God. One of my favorite quotes is from a guy named St. Augustine. And this guy says, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. So he's saying, Jesus is saying to this woman, like, You're coming to the well because you're thirsty. You need a drink. It's hot. It's the desert. It's like really hot. I mean, yesterday my girl said, it's so hot. Open the windows, turn on the fans. But we don't know what hot is here in the Bay Area, do we? No, we don't. We don't have a clue. All right. So I've been to Israel and it gets hot there, like hot, hot. All right. So this woman says to Jesus, sir, give me this water so that I will not get thirsty nor have to continually come all the way here to draw. At this, Jesus said, go call your husband and come back. The woman answered, I do not have a husband. Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I do not have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and the man you are now living with is not your husband. You have said this truthfully. The woman said to him, sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that the place where one ought to worship is in Jerusalem at the temple. Jesus replied, woman, believe me, a time is coming when God's kingdom comes, when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not know what you worship. We Jews do know what we worship, for salvation is from the Jews. But a time is coming and is already here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, from the heart, from the inner self, and in truth. For the Father seeks such people to be his worshipers. God is spirit. He's the source of life. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, the one who's called Christ, the anointed one. When that one comes, he will tell us everything we need to know. Jesus said to her, I who speak, I'm the Messiah. I'm he. He's like, spoiler alert, you just met the one you're talking about. So then his disciples come and they talk to him a little bit. And this woman leaves her water jar and goes into the city and begins telling all the people, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. Can this be the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed? So the people left the city and they're coming to him. And this is what ends up happening. Verse 39 says, now many Samaritans from that city believed in him and trusted him as Savior because of what the woman said when she testified, he told me all the things that I have done. Now, this woman is the first evangelist in the Bible. An evangelist is somebody that tells other people the good news of what Jesus has done in their life. This person, this woman, was the first person to say, wow, oh my gosh, I just found the Savior and he can save you. I found the thing that I was looking for in him. Okay, but here's the thing. All right, this woman has, people have talked about her a lot of different ways. I've heard a lot of different pastors say, oh, she was a horrible woman. Like, oh my gosh, she must have been such an adulterer because, you know, married five times, living with a guy that she's not married to. You know, I mean, I'm sure people judged her a lot, like a lot. But here's the thing. We don't really know her whole story. We don't really know how she got to where she was, but what we do know is it was a very complicated relationship that she was in. Okay, so her relationship status. Do you guys remember like Facebook, MySpace? They have you check like what's your relationship status. You could say in a relationship, or you could say single, or there's this one you can check that says it's complicated. You know, because it's like, I don't know, like we're sort of together, but sort of not, but we're not sure. And I always thought like that pretty much sums up most of our lives. It's complicated. Like there's a lot of layers to our lives as human beings. But people will take a little bit that they hear about you and then make a whole lot of judgments about you. They'll act like they know all about your life just because they know a little bit. And we will do that to other people sometimes. I hear a little bit about you, and then I think I know all about you. Oh, I hear you came from that town or that neighborhood or whatever, that place. And then I suddenly make up all the rest of the information about you in my head, and I think I know you. And for this woman, she clearly had a complicated relationship status, and she had been married five times and was living with a guy that was not her husband. And this was, you know, in the Bible times, I think this was pretty next level. This didn't happen very often, okay? So in today's, probably for today, that would be like, you know, if somebody, if I stood up here and told you guys I've been married 12 times, you guys are like, what? Like, I don't even know of anybody that's been married 12 times. You know, like, that's, you know, there are a few women in Hollywood that have a reputation for being married a lot, right? And everybody talks about it because it's like, what? Okay, but here's the thing. We don't really know this woman's story. And, you know, the women back in the Bible times, they could not divorce a man. The man was the one divorcing them. Okay, so whether she was a cheater or not, I don't know. We don't know. Maybe she couldn't get pregnant, and so men just kept on divorcing her. Because in the Bible times, a lot of a woman's worth was attached to how many children she could give a man. All right, so we don't know what this woman was struggling with. What we do know is that this woman experienced a lot of rejection. A lot of rejection. She experienced a lot of pain. She had a reputation. She'd been judged a lot. And Jesus said, I know everything about you, but he did not judge her. He did not condemn her. He didn't try to break down, why did this happen, and tell me your whole story, and I want to know, what did you do to make those guys break up with you, and what's going on, you know. He didn't. He did not talk about that. He knew that she came from a broken place. He knew that she was a hurting woman and that she was searching for something, and she had not found satisfaction in a human relationship, right? Like she'd been looking places to find the thing that her heart was longing for, right? And she hadn't found it. She kept on coming up empty again and again and again. But Jesus, rather than focusing on the problem, he said, I know you got a problem, and I have the solution. And so instead of needing a whole backstory or a big confession or, you know, tell me all the things you've done wrong, I want details, or you should be shamed or guilty. No, he said, I've got the solution to your problem. He says, I know you've got a problem. What all the details are, whatever. He looks at her and says, you got a problem, I've got the solution, and here it is. It's a living water. It will satisfy you. The longing in your heart to be accepted, to be seen, to be loved, to be known. I see you. I love you. I know you. And so this woman gets really, really excited because she gets to experience for the first time real love and real grace and compassion and understanding. And so it makes me think about it. Like in my own life, I don't really need people pointing out what's wrong with me because, you know, most of the time we know what's wrong with us. Like, you know, when you have like a huge pimple on your face and people like tell you, whoa, you've got a big pimple on your face. And I'm like, I know I have a huge pimple on my face. Like, what do you think? Like, you think I can't tell? Like, are you kidding me? We know, right? And I think that for most of us, like, we know the things that we have done that have hurt God's heart. We know the things that we have done that have hurt other people that we care about. I think most of us know where we have problems. And what we need, though, is to be pointed to the solution, to the answer, because we get tired of coming up empty and being thirsty again and again and again. And we have tried so many different things to find peace and satisfaction, right? Like that quote, our hearts are restless, like until they find rest in God. It's because you were made to know your creator. You were made to know God. You were made to be known by God, to know God, to love him, to be loved by him. You were meant to experience him. And so God made us for a purpose. And as long as we are floating around unsure of what that purpose is, we will try to find satisfaction and peace in lots of other things. But the thing about those other things that we look to is that it only temporarily satisfies us, and then it leaves us kind of empty again. And so we're like chasing after it. You know how like a person that thinks if you get $1,000, then you'll feel good, but then you get $10,000. Okay, but if I get $100,000, then my goal is $1,000,000, you know, and then if I reach $1,000,000, then I'll be happy. Or if I have $100 million, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be satisfied. And then you reach for that $1 billion mark. And then, I don't know, what do you do once you have $1 billion? Then you're like, you know, the $400 billion. You know what I mean? Like, and we're never really satisfied. It's never really enough. You know, you think you get that thing that you want, that house that you want, and then suddenly you realize the house isn't how you want it. So then you've got to fix it. And then, you know, and there's this searching. You'll go, like, out to parties. People will go to parties, and you think if you're partying enough, you know, we'll try alcohol or drugs, things that will just, like, make us feel good because we just want to feel at peace, you know? But the problem with all of these things is, yes, temporarily there's a high. Like, you know, you bring home your new car and it's like, yes, it feels amazing. There's like temporary moments of, like every time Amazon comes with a delivery, it's exciting. We got something, you know, and then we open it and we see what it is and it's like, whatever. And I move on, you know. And Jesus is like, you're made to not really feel satisfied outside of having a relationship with me. And you were made to know me. You were made to experience me. And so I think that for sure this tells us really how God sees us, because like, this is Jesus's real interactions with a real person. And I think that, you know, for whatever religious people, how they would try to come at us and be like, you're a sinner, you're a horrible person, Jesus is saying, I see that you have kind of an issue, a problem, you're hurting, and I want to help you. And so that's how God's coming to you. And then also, I would say that this is an encouragement for us to think about how we come to other people. You know, when we're coming to our friend and we can tell they have a problem, maybe we could be the person that doesn't just point out problems, but maybe we can offer hope, offer like what's worked for us, you know? So I tell people, you know, because I've experienced pain in my life, but I've also experienced a lot of healing in my life. And so I can tell you, yes, I've been there. I've experienced pain. I've experienced brokenness. I've made bad choices. But I've also experienced a whole lot of forgiveness from God, a whole lot of healing. And the way that God looks at us, I just don't think that it's the way that the world is. Because the world is all about keeping a record of wrongs and saying, you did this and you did that, and like a checklist. And God just comes to us and he says, but are you looking for the solution? Like, do you want the living water that will really satisfy you so that you will never be thirsty again? And actually what will happen is it will be such life for you that it will like literally spill out to the people that you encounter. And then what will happen is not only are you living full of life, but you're bringing life everywhere that you go. So we can complain about the way that the world is, you know, the brokenness that we see in the world, or we can be people who bring hope and life into situations. And you realize, like, each and every one of us in this room, we were created by God because he loves us. And you might feel like your life is broken, or you see the messiness of your life or your choices, but God sees all the potential and he sees opportunities for healing and wholeness. And then what happens is we experience wholeness and it changes the way that we see our whole life. Now, did that woman's life suddenly get perfect overnight? No, I mean, she still had a complicated relationship status. She still had all these ex-husbands, and I don't know her whole story. But like I said, there was stuff to her story that she had to deal with. But she found God's love and his grace on that hot day when she was out at noon, I'm just thinking miserably hot. And then all of a sudden, it was like her whole day changed. And she was like, I've found life. I've found the thing that my soul was searching for. And so I just want to encourage us today that this is our opportunity to say, yes, God, like, God sees each of us. In fact, would you just close your eyes Okay. God sees you. He sees me. And he knows the whole story of my life. If you think you're hiding from him, like a part of it, like he doesn't know, like he knows. And that's kind of what was going on with him and the Samaritan woman when he said, you've got five husbands and you're living with a guy that's not your husband. He was saying, I see you. I know your story. Like, there's nothing I'm missing. Like, I know the story. But Jesus is also saying, I just love you and I want relationship with you and I want you to know my peace and my healing. I don't want you to live it feeling rejected because you're not rejected. You've been chosen by a God who loves you. You know, so right now, like whatever it is that you felt like weighted down by, I just feel like God wants to remind each of us, like, He knows our past, but what he sees and is really excited about is our future with him. He's excited about the healing that we're going to experience and the freedom and the healthy patterns that we're going to have and the joy that we're going to experience, the peace that we're going to have in our homes and in our hearts, and the life and encouragement that we're going to be to other people as a result of the healing that we've received. So I want to encourage us right now. This is an opportunity for us to say, okay, God, like, okay. Like, because when we receive, when we have this opportunity where Jesus, like, shows up to us, we can either say, okay, or we can reject him. We can say, no thanks. But I think, like, for me, when I just saw how loved I am by God, like, I just feel so loved by him, so seen by him. And that feels really good. And I think that Lord, you're just gonna pour out your spirit on us right now and just show us how much you love us, how good you are. And so, Lord, I pray that we would receive your love and your grace right now, Lord, and that would enable us to walk around with confidence and boldness, Lord, that it would change the way that we even see the world around us, the people around us, Lord. And I just thank you that you're so committed to us, that where the world would reject, you welcome. And where there is no hope, Lord, you bring hope. And where there is just a bunch of anxiety and frustration and anger, Lord, you bring your peace and your healing. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you are committed to us. I thank you that you are committed to us, that you see us right where we're at, but that you are committed to the process of healing us and allowing us to be a blessing to other people too. I just thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.